In 2022, when actor Ryan Reynolds revealed he underwent a colonoscopy after losing a bet with friend Rob McElhenney, he didn't expect to find a polyp. His candid documentation of the procedure sparked a surge in colonoscopy appointments nationwide. While colon cancer screening gained this celebrity boost, another equally critical screening remained shrouded in embarrassment and avoidance, the prostate exam. Despite affecting 1 in 8 American men, prostate cancer lacks the public conversation it deserves. Dr. Patrick Walsh's guide stands as the definitive resource on this disease, having guided millions through diagnosis and treatment since its first publication. Updated with cutting-edge research and treatment options, this comprehensive guide offers both scientific rigor and compassionate guidance for navigating what many consider the most intimate health challenge a man can face. The prostate presents a fascinating paradox in male anatomy. This small, golf ball-sized gland isn't essential for life, yet its strategic location makes it enormously consequential when problems arise. Primarily serving to produce fluid for semen, the prostate sits at what Dr. Walsh calls a miniature grand central station, where the urinary and reproductive tracts intersect. This positioning explains why prostate issues can profoundly impact quality of life. Imagine the prostate as a tunnel through which a major expressway, the urethra, must pass. When problems develop, this passageway becomes compromised. The prostate's deep pelvic position, surrounded by critical structures including the bladder, rectum, urinary sphincters, major blood vessels, and the delicate nerves controlling erections, creates a perfect storm for complications when treatment becomes necessary. For most men who live long enough, the prostate will eventually cause one of three problems: cancer, the most common cancer in American men, benign prostatic hyperplasia causing urinary difficulties, or prostatitis/chronic pelvic pain syndrome. The prostate's boundary thinner, thinner than tissue paper, provides minimal barrier against cancer spread, making early detection through screening starting at age 40 crucial, especially for high-risk men. Despite these challenges, there's tremendous hope. The field of prostate treatment has never been more promising, with research advancing our understanding of cancer prevention, early intervention, immune system approaches, and quality of life preservation after treatment. We're making remarkable progress in determining when cancer begins, how it spreads, and developing treatments with fewer side effects and quicker recovery times. What causes prostate cancer? Despite extensive research, we still don't have definitive answers. However, we do know several risk factors that significantly increase your chances of developing this disease. Age stands as the most significant unmodifiable risk factor. Prostate cancer predominantly affects older men because it takes decades to develop. Scientists estimate that 7 or 8 mutations must occur to transform a normal cell into a cancerous one, explaining why risk increases dramatically with age. Men over 70 are almost 7 times more likely to develop prostate cancer than men in their 50s. The risk jumps from 1 in 52 for men in their 50s to 1 in 11 for men 70 and older. African ancestry represents another major risk factor. Black men have nearly 70% higher incidence than white men, tend to develop more aggressive forms, experience higher recurrence rates, and are 2.3 times more likely to die from the disease. This disparity stems from both socioeconomic health inequalities and biological factors, including differences in where cancer typically develops within the prostate, often in areas harder to reach with standard biopsy techniques. Family history significantly impacts risk as well. Men with a first-degree relative, father or brother, with prostate cancer have twice the normal risk, with risk increasing if that relative was diagnosed before age 60. Having 2 first-degree relatives with prostate cancer raises risk 3.5 times. Interestingly, risk is higher if the affected relative is a brother rather than a father, since defective genes can be inherited from either parent. Several genetic mutations dramatically increase prostate cancer risk. DNA repair genes like BRCA1 and BRCA2, the same genes associated with breast and ovarian cancers, significantly impact prostate cancer risk when mutated. Men with defective BRCA2 have nearly 13% risk by age 70 and 30% by age 80, typically developing more aggressive cancers. Other relevant genes include ATM, HOX13, and those associated with Lynch syndrome. While we can't change our genetics, certain lifestyle factors are within our control. Excess body fat, especially around the midsection, significantly increases risk of aggressive prostate cancer. For men already treated for prostate cancer, being overweight decreases survival chances. Smoking doesn't appear to cause prostate cancer initially, but makes men more likely to die from it if diagnosed. Those who continue smoking after treatment face twice the risk of recurrence. Despite promising early studies, there's insufficient evidence to definitively claim that avoiding red meat and dairy or consuming tomatoes will prevent prostate cancer. Similarly, the protective effects of broccoli, anti-inflammatory foods, red wine, coffee, and exercise require stronger evidence before being considered proven preventative measures. Prostate cancer is particularly dangerous because it develops silently, without warning signs, until it has progressed beyond the point of easy curability. Unlike other conditions that announce themselves with pain or dysfunction, prostate cancer begins in the peripheral zone of the prostate, relatively far from the urethra. This allows tumors to grow silently for years without producing noticeable symptoms. When symptoms finally appear, difficulty urinating, erectile dysfunction, decreased ejaculate volume, or bone pain, they mimic other common conditions and often indicate advanced disease. This is precisely why screening is so crucial. You can have a significant tumor and experience no symptoms whatsoever. The PSA, prostate-specific antigen, blood test, though imperfect, remains our primary screening tool. It's important to understand that PSA is prostate-specific, not cancer-specific. Elevated levels don't necessarily indicate cancer, and normal levels don't guarantee its absence. About 15% of men with prostate cancer have PSA levels below 4 nanograms per milliliter, while only 25% of men with PSA between 4 to 10 and 65% with PSA above 10 actually have cancer. Why does cancer raise PSA levels? Cancerous tissue produces about 10 times more PSA than benign tissue because cancer disrupts the prostate's normal ductal drainage system, allowing more PSA to leak into the bloodstream. This makes PSA testing valuable despite its limitations. The digital rectal exam remains essential because PSA testing alone isn't foolproof. About 25% of men with prostate cancer have PSA levels that don't trigger suspicion. The exam can reveal crucial information about the prostate's condition and potential cancer spread, though it has limitations. Some tumors grow beyond fingers' reach. Multifocal cancers may feel uniform, and not all firm prostates indicate cancer. Newer approaches have improved screening accuracy. Free PSA testing helps distinguish between benign conditions and cancer. Higher free PSA percentages suggest benign conditions, while lower percentages suggest cancer. Advanced reflex tests like the Prostate Health Index, 4K score, PCA3, and others examine various biomarkers to better distinguish aggressive cancers from slower-growing ones. MRI technology has dramatically improved detection capabilities. Modern multi-parametric MRI can help experienced radiologists identify suspicious areas in the prostate using the PIRDS grading scale, which rates lesions from 1 to 5, with scores of 4 to 5 indicating high risk of cancer. Targeted biopsies can then focus on these suspicious areas. The introduction of PSA screening dramatically reduced prostate cancer death rates by over 53% from pre-PSA levels. Despite this success, screening remains controversial, with guidelines evolving over time. Current recommendations suggest baseline screening in a man's 40s, with African-American men or those with family histories starting at age 40 due to higher risk. Receiving a prostate cancer diagnosis can feel overwhelming, but remember, this disease has likely been growing slowly for years. Taking weeks or even months to gather information and make informed decisions won't compromise your treatment window. The key is understanding your specific situation through three critical pieces of information: your PSA level, Gleason score/grade group, and clinical stage. The Gleason scoring system identifies patterns of cancer cell architecture, with higher scores indicating more aggressive disease. Modern practice uses five grade groups developed by Dr. Jonathan Epstein. Grade group 1, Gleason 3 plus 3 equals 6, represents low-grade cancer with excellent prognosis. Grade group 2, 3 plus 4 equals 7, is intermediate grade. Grade group 3, 4 plus 3, 7, typically needs treatment. Grade groups 4, Gleason 8, and 5, Gleason 9, 10, are high-grade with poorer prognoses. Clinical staging uses the TNM classification system. T represents the tumor's local extent, N indicates lymph node metastases, and M indicates distant metastases. The T stage has 8 categories based on rectal examination findings. If your prostate feels normal during examination, you have T1 disease. T2 describes cancer that can be felt in half of one lobe, one entire lobe, or both lobes. With this information, you'll be classified into a risk group: very low risk, low risk, favorable intermediate risk, unfavorable intermediate risk, high risk, or very high risk. This classification guides treatment recommendations. For men with very low risk or low risk prostate cancer, active surveillance may be appropriate. This involves regular monitoring through PSA tests, physical exams, and periodic biopsies rather than immediate treatment. About 50% of men selected for active surveillance will avoid treatment and its potential side effects for at least 10 years. For intermediate risk disease, options include surgery, radical prostatectomy, or radiation therapy, sometimes combined with short-term hormonal therapy. High-risk and very high-risk disease typically requires multimodal treatment, combinations of surgery, radiation, and hormonal therapy. When choosing between treatments, consider both the cancer's characteristics and your personal situation. Your age, overall health, and life expectancy matter tremendously. For men over 65 without heart disease or other cancers, life expectancy can vary from 2 to 37 years. Younger men typically tolerate surgery better, while men over 75 face higher risks of impotence and incontinence. Personal preferences also play a crucial role. Some men prefer immediate action over worry, while others avoid surgery at all costs. There's no single best treatment. The optimal approach depends on your unique circumstances and values. Radical prostatectomy, complete surgical removal of the prostate, remains the gold standard for treating prostate cancer confined to the gland. Since prostate cancer typically develops in multiple locations simultaneously within the prostate, complete removal offers the best chance for cure. The procedure has evolved dramatically since its early days. In the 1970s, Dr. Patrick Walsh developed an anatomical approach that preserves urinary control and sexual function, which Dr. Schaefer has further refined using modern robotics. Today's procedure aims to achieve three goals in order of priority: removing all cancer, preserving urinary control, and preserving sexual function. Modern robotic-assisted approaches provide surgeons with extremely magnified, three-dimensional views of the pelvis and prostate, along with microscopic instrumentation. A key advantage is the nearly bloodless surgical field, allowing better visualization of the prostate's anatomy. However, the technology is only as good as the surgeon operating it. Surgical outcomes remain operator-dependent, making surgeon experience crucial. Finding the right surgeon is critical. Complications should be minimal, but can be devastating with an inexperienced surgeon. The ideal surgeon has performed hundreds of these operations, understands when to preserve nerves versus when wider excision is necessary, and can provide statistics on their success rates for cancer control, continence, and potency. After surgery, you'll have a catheter for 1 to 2 weeks while the connection between your bladder and urethra heals. Recovery of urinary control typically occurs in three phases. First, staying dry while lying down, then while walking, and finally when standing up after sitting. In Dr. Walsh's robotic fascial sparing series, 55% are continent immediately after catheter removal, 66% by 4 weeks, and 95% by 3 months. Sexual potency recovery varies widely. Younger men recover faster, while those with pre-existing ED take longer. For men in their 40s, potency rates are similar, about 90%, whether one or both nerve bundles are preserved. However, after age 50, preserving both bundles yields better results. Regardless of erection quality, most men maintain normal penile sensation and can achieve orgasm even without an erection. A major advantage of radical prostatectomy is the early, definitive information it provides through pathological examination of the removed prostate. This golf ball-sized crystal ball contains valuable prognostic information that helps determine whether additional treatment might be needed. Radiation therapy offers an excellent non-surgical treatment option for prostate cancer, with no anesthesia risk or major operation recovery time. It can be performed on an outpatient basis, allowing most men to continue working during treatment. External beam radiation therapy has proven to have equivalent cure rates to radical prostatectomy with excellent long-term outcomes. Modern radiation uses sophisticated technology to precisely target the prostate while minimizing exposure to surrounding tissues. Intensity-modulated radiation therapy, IMRT, uses multiple beamlets, sometimes hundreds, generated at multiple angles to paint radiation precisely to the prostate. The technology employs up to 60 pairs of movable tungsten leaves that function like shutters, sculpting the radiation beam to fit the individual contours of each man's prostate. Image-guided radiation therapy, IGRT, addresses the challenge that even with perfect patient positioning, the prostate itself can move within the pelvis by more than a centimeter between treatment sessions. Using daily imaging before treatment, technicians check the prostate's exact location and make small adjustments to ensure accurate targeting. Clinical results have conclusively shown that moderate hypofractionated radiation, 4 to 5 weeks, is equally effective as standard 7 to 8 week courses for localized prostate cancer. Extreme hypofractionation, SBRT, SABR, delivering just 5 high-dose treatments over 1 week, has also shown promising results in multiple studies. When choosing radiation treatment, the physician's experience and facility volume matter more than technology alone. Experts suggest seeking radiation oncologists who handle around 100 cases yearly. Treatment planning requires extensive behind-the-scenes work from radiation oncologists, medical physicists, dosimetrists, and technicians who continuously monitor and verify your treatment. During external beam radiation therapy, symptoms typically emerge gradually. For the first few weeks, patients often feel normal and can continue regular activities. By the 3rd to 5th week, mild to moderate symptoms may develop, which generally resolve days to weeks after treatment concludes. These may include fatigue, urinary symptoms like frequency and urgency, and rectal symptoms like increased bowel movements or looser stools. Unlike surgery's immediate impact on erectile function, radiation causes gradual erectile dysfunction that may develop over several years following treatment. Initially, sexual function often remains normal, leading many men to be surprised when ED develops later. Experts recommend proactive treatment with daily PDE5 inhibitors during radiation and for at least 2 years afterward to maintain penile health and blood flow. For men with higher risk prostate cancer, evidence strongly indicates that radiation combined with androgen deprivation therapy, ADT, improves outcomes. Studies show men with high-grade cancers who received longer hormone therapy had better PSA outcomes and lower prostate cancer mortality. However, hormonal therapy comes with significant side effects, including loss of libido, erectile dysfunction, hot flashes, weight gain, and potentially more serious long-term issues. Survivorship means moving forward with life after a cancer diagnosis. The emotional journey varies widely. Some feel grateful it's only curable prostate cancer. Others see a clear demarcation between life before and after cancer, and many feel pressure to remain strong for their families despite their struggles. The emotional spectrum can include gratitude, grief, self-reproach, and embarrassment about side effects like incontinence or erectile dysfunction. There's no prescribed way to respond to cancer. Many men struggle with balancing gratitude for treatment while feeling damaged by its impact on quality of life. Unacknowledged grief often turns into anger, with some men still harboring resentment 10-15 years after treatment because they haven't processed their loss. Well-being comprises many interconnected elements: physical health, economic stability, social functioning, sexual health, emotional state, and psychological wellness. Like a table with one wobbly leg, if one aspect isn't working properly, the entire system becomes unstable. Men with metastatic cancer face mortality in ways others don't, while those in remission often struggle with constant recurrence fears. Finding purpose despite uncertainty and focusing on aspects you can control, like nutrition or exercise, helps ground you. Finding joy in present-moment activities, volunteering, hobbies, or spiritual practices helps maintain perspective. Research shows practicing gratitude can significantly decrease fear of recurrence and improve well-being. Erectile dysfunction after treatment is a common but manageable condition. Men experiencing ED retain normal sensation, normal sexual desire, and can achieve normal orgasm. Their only difficulty is with achieving or maintaining erections. The good news is that this problem can always be treated. PDE5 inhibitors, Viagra, Cialis, Stendra, and Levitra, work remarkably well after radiation therapy and after nerve-sparing radical prostatectomy. These aren't instant erection pills, but work by enhancing the natural erectile process. For optimal results, take the maximum dose initially, unless contraindicated, avoid fatty meals, especially with Viagra, and understand that benefits may take months to appear after surgery as nerves recover. If oral medications aren't effective, other options include intraurethral therapy, penile injection therapy, vacuum erection devices, and penile prostheses, implants. Modern penile prostheses use a pump placed in the scrotum that moves fluid into the penis, creating erections that feel completely normal, with natural sensation and sufficient rigidity for intercourse. For men with advanced prostate cancer, treatment options have expanded dramatically in recent years. What was once limited to hormonal therapy has exploded into multiple therapeutic options targeting specific biological mechanisms. Hormonal therapy, also called androgen deprivation therapy or ADT, works by cutting off the hormones that feed prostate cancer. When treatment begins, tumors shrink and PSA levels drop, but this represents only a partial victory. The most aggressive cancer cells often don't produce much PSA anyway and can survive without hormones. These androgen-independent cells continue growing, eventually dominating through genetic drift or clonal selection. Modern hormonal therapies target multiple checkpoints in the hormonal pathway, from the hypothalamus to the prostate itself, and can be used individually or in combination. LHRH agonists like Leuprolide and antagonists like Degarelix shut down testosterone production at the source. Newer, more powerful AR blockers, apalutamide, enzalutamide, and darolutamide, prevent testosterone from reaching androgen receptors in prostate cells. For men with metastatic cancer, treatment now involves layering therapies, with ADT as the foundation. The treatment layers typically build ADT, possibly treating the primary tumor with radiation or surgery, plus an LHRH agonist, plus an oral antiandrogen, and then chemotherapy if needed. Genetic testing has become critically important for men with metastatic prostate cancer, as approximately 30% have genetic mutations that could be treated with targeted therapies, like PARP inhibitors or immunotherapy. These drugs prevent cancer cells from repairing their DNA, causing them to die. Radiopharmaceuticals like radium-223, Xofigo, and lutetium-177, Pluvicto, deliver radiation directly to cancer cells throughout the body. Lutetium-177 targets cells expressing prostate-specific membrane antigen, or PSMA, acting as a smart bomb for cancer and extending survival by about 4 months compared to standard care. Pain management is crucial for quality of life. With proper pain management and bone-targeting therapies like Zometa or Xgeva, pain symptoms are becoming less common. For localized pain, targeted treatments like spot radiation directed at painful bone metastases provides complete relief in 55% of patients and partial relief in 33%. Throughout the cancer journey, the mind-body connection remains important. Mindfulness meditation can improve pain management, and religious faith offers comfort through the knowledge you're not alone. Studies show religious people often live longer, have lower blood pressure, and need fewer pain medications. The landscape of prostate cancer diagnosis and treatment has transformed dramatically over the past 3 decades. What was once a disease shrouded in mystery and limited treatment options now has multiple pathways for detection, intervention, and management. From active surveillance protocols for low-risk disease to cutting-edge targeted therapies like PSMA PET imaging and precision medicine for advanced cancer, men today have more options and significantly better outcomes than ever before. The 5-year survival rate for localized prostate cancer now exceeds 99%, a remarkable achievement in modern oncology. The key to navigating this complex terrain is education, communication, and partnership with experienced medical professionals. Understanding your specific situation, including factors like PSA levels, Gleason score, and tumor staging, allows for more informed decision-making. Weighing treatment options in light of your personal values, lifestyle preferences, and individual circumstances requires careful consideration of side effects, recovery time, and long-term outcomes. Regular communication with your healthcare team, including urologists, oncologists, and support staff, ensures coordinated care and optimal results. Support systems play a crucial role in the journey. From spouse and family members to support groups and cancer survivorship programs, these networks provide emotional sustenance and practical assistance. Many men find strength in connecting with others who have faced similar challenges, sharing experiences and coping strategies that make the journey less isolating. While a prostate cancer diagnosis remains challenging, the combination of early detection through improved screening protocols, advanced treatments including robotic surgery and precise radiation delivery systems, and comprehensive supportive care means that most men can look forward to many years of quality life after diagnosis. The emergence of genetic testing and personalized medicine continues to refine treatment approaches, allowing for more targeted interventions with fewer side effects. The silent threat of prostate cancer is increasingly becoming a manageable, chronic condition rather than a death sentence, representing one of modern medicine's most significant success stories. With ongoing research into novel therapies, including immunotherapy and new hormone treatments, the future holds even more promise. Men diagnosed today can face their journey with realistic optimism, knowing that they have access to the most advanced treatments and supportive care in medical history.